blackness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
The end for Abraham Hamilton III is yours truly, E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. My honor to sit in the chair. And as always, thank you all for your prayers, your support. Thank you for tuning in, for listening. Thank you, by the way, for support. I just dropped my copy of The Naked Communist, which I want to share a little bit with you because you all have brought it up in our discussions. But thank you all for your prayers, for your support, for the network, for all of our hosts, for me. And don't forget, I have a podcast that airs posts every Wednesday, usually somewhere around 10 o'clock. And so you can check that out every week. And I appreciate you all really helping me to make that podcast successful. I think I may have mentioned this before, not to pat myself on the back, but to thank you all, because obviously it wouldn't be possible for me to just do this sitting behind a microphone if you all weren't supporting me and helping and praying and interested. But I got listed as one of the top 50 Christian podcasts in America. So I forget where I fell. I think somewhere around 30, somewhere in there. But look, I'm honored to be among the top 50. Praise God for that. And I couldn't do it without you all. So thank you so very much. Okay. I want to get into what happened in the elections yesterday. And of course, the big story is the victory by a much, much smaller margin than expected of the man who calls himself Abdul Rahman El Said. And by the way, did you hear him say, "That's my name, and if you can't say it, keep it out of your D mouth." Yeah, I mean, really classy guy. But anyway, he won by a very slim margin. They were talking about him being up 13, 14 points. It turns out he won by just a point. Just a point. But look, folks, as much as I am disappointed that he has won that election, it may in the end be a good thing for his opponent, his Republican opponent, Mike Rogers, because the polls indicate he will do better against El Said than he might have done against Stevens, even though, look, they're both socialists. He rejects the label, and so does she. But their policies are no different. I think she expresses some support for Israel or some opposition to this being anti-Israel or anti-Jewish. He, of course, embraces that completely. He's got Hassan Piker hanging around with him, and Hassan Piker is a virulent anti-Semite. As a matter of fact, again, you probably heard the video of him saying, you know, "You people," and with profanity-laced tirade, you know, "are a bunch of blank, blank homophobes." It's Islamophobes. "You are a bunch of blank, blank Islamophobes." You know, I have been thinking a lot about, even though he won by a very small margin, I've been thinking a lot about why are so many people voting for these nutcases? Why are so many people buying into this stuff? And I was reminded of something very, very important that I've talked about before. Because our entire educational system is producing people who are susceptible to this, because this is the way they've been taught. This is the way they've been trained. This is what they've been told is good and right. They've been told that America is bad and wrong, and all of these new policies of revolution, socialism, social justice, you name it, all of this stuff is necessary in order to correct the evil that is the United States of America. Now, when you've been trained that way, is it any wonder that you go out and you protest at an ICE facility, or that you go out and you vote for somebody like Abdul Rahman El Said? Well, you've been taught that way. It's easy then to buy into this notion that, well, Donald Trump is a fascist. Why? Because he loves America. Well, if you love America, you must be a fascist. There's clearly something wrong with you. If you aren't negatively triggered by the flag flying, if you like that, if that actually warms you emotionally, that you feel have good feelings about that, there's something wrong with you. You ought to see that flag and grimace. Oh, that racist symbol. Oh, I cannot stand to be in the presence. All these flags trigger me. If that doesn't happen for you, there's something wrong with you. But if you've been taught that way, trained that way, educated that way, think about it, for 12 years, 16 years, 20 years, is it any wonder that you vote that way? So I looked it up because I was curious. Michigan has a state-funded higher education program. This is beyond public schools, government schools, for pre-college. They consist 15 public four-year universities. They've got 15 in Michigan, 28 public community colleges. Now just think about that. That's 43 institutions of higher learning scattered throughout Michigan, paid for by the Michigan taxpayers. What do you think people are learning in those schools? Exactly. They're learning to vote for people like El Said, and they're learning to support people like Hassan Piker. And, you know, it brought me back to this. Hold on, let me grab my book. It brought me back to this. Do you remember when President Trump was feuding with a lot of these top schools? Yeah, I got to thinking, you know, he needs to resume that. We need to have an all-out, knock-down, drag-out war. Now, I don't mean, of course, with physical violence. Now, you all know that, of course. But I say that because, you know, the people who monitor these programs looking for something will say, if I don't make the qualification, E.W. Jackson was on the air. He's supposed to be a bishop. And he was on the air telling people, we're at war. We've got to go to war against college. You know, I mean, that's what they do. Although they're the ones, if I or one of our hosts tries to go to a college or university and they find out about it, they're the ones who will engage in all kinds of violent behavior to try to keep us from speaking to a classroom. But, you know, here we are, people of peace, people of prayer, and people who are willing to debate, have an honest debate about any of the issues, because we know that we're on the right side, because we're on God's side. No, they're not interested in that. They're interested in deplatforming us, censoring us, silencing us. That's the way they roll. That's what they do, because that's the way they've been trained. How many thousands of hours of brainwashing and indoctrination is that? And at some point, somewhere along the line, oh God help us, because we have got to somehow eviscerate this whole system that is pumping poison into the body politic of the United States of America, because that's exactly what it's doing. And I heard comparisons today between the Tea Party and the Democratic Socialists of America, which I frankly personally resent, because I was a part of the Tea Party from the very inception. I spoke at one of those. I was a speaker at the first rally. Remember the nationwide rallies we had on April 15th of 2009, I guess it was. We had one here in Hampton Roads. Thousands of people came. I was on the roster speaking at that first Tea Party event and spoke many, many times after that and supported many of the Tea Party activities and met some of the greatest patriots and friends I'll ever know. It's just a total blessing. But what was the radical agenda of the Tea Party? Because after all, you know, the Tea Party was a bunch of radical, angry white people who were interested. They were racist, and you know, we're right. That's the picture, right? What was the radical agenda? hey, why don't we come back to the Constitution? What? Are you kidding me? What? What kind of extremism is that? And how about this? How about we come back to fiscal responsibility and we start trying to get back to a balanced budget and stop spending money and borrowing money we don't have? Woo. Now, see, no wonder. Yeah, okay. Now I can see how you would compare that, those radical ideas, to the idea of ripping up the Constitution, getting rid of the presidency, getting rid of the U.S. Senate, getting rid of the Supreme Court, and having one Politburo that rules and governs over everything. Throw out the principle of checks and balances. Get rid of all of that. Get rid of capitalism. Take over all the industries. Now, wow, I can see the comparison. Can't you? I mean, but you know, if you have been taught that up is down and down is up and left is right and right is left and good is evil and evil is good and darkness is light and light is darkness and bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter and you are wise in your own eyes and prudent in your own sight, no wonder you buy into all that. There's no comparison. The Tea Party is one of the best things that ever happened to this country. Because it forced us to come back to first principles, even though now establishment Republicans didn't like it any more than some of these establishment Democrats like the fact that they are being invaded by socialists. But the difference is that the Tea Party was really built on principle, and the moderate or establishment Republicans were built on pure politics. And that's why they didn't like us Tea Party folks, because we came, as Ronald Reagan said, we didn't come trying to be somebody. We came trying to do something. Trying to do something, not because of these democratic socialists, because we hated our country, but because we loved our country. And we saw it being destroyed from within. And we wanted to do something about it in a peaceful way. I mean, you hear the stories about Tea Party rallies where they leave the area that they had the rally better off than they found it. They clean up the trash and they leave the place in pristine condition. Where, you know, people would come trying to sell some kind of racist propaganda, and Tea Party people would put them out and say, you don't have a place here, go, leave. I mean, some of the greatest political times I've ever had, I had at Tea Party rallies and events. A wonderful group of people. I didn't hear any hatred. I mean, like me, I say, I hate ideas that are false because the Bible teaches me I'm supposed to. I hate Islam. I don't hate Muslims, though. But I hate Islam. I hate socialism. I hate communism. I hate these things. I don't hate those people. In fact, folks, I really do feel sorry for them because they are so lost and so confused. They're on their way to hell and they don't know it. So I don't hate them, but I'm going to fight them with the weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but I'm going to fight them because they're trying to destroy my country, and I am not going to sit by and let them do it. Very different than what they're up to. By the way, I've got in my Rush used to say formerly nicotine stained hand. You all remember that? Rush was something else. Well, I quit smoking when I was 19 years old, folks. So it's been a long time since my hands were stained with nicotine. But I've got in my hot little hands here The Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. And some of you have called me and brought this book up. Well, he gives, I forget the number. I think it's like 49 principles of how to take over our country. And one of them is the 15th is capture one of or both of the political parties in the United States. And that's exactly what's happening. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by. We're coming back with more.
America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Now, this book, The Naked Communist, which some of you have brought up to me from time to time, you brought it up, I've said, look, I can see my bookshelf, and it's sitting right there on my bookshelf, so I have the book, I have read it. I've got it in my hands right now. I said, principle number 15, how do you take over a country? How do you take over the United States of America? Number 15, capture one or both of the political parties in the United States. That is exactly what has happened. In my view, it's already done. It's a done deal. I don't care what these so-called moderates say. The Democrat Party is already taken over by socialists. Because again, Saeed doesn't identify himself as a socialist, but all of his policies are in agreement with the Democratic Socialists of America, which are basically communists. Here's principle number 17. Get control of the schools. Use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum. Get control of the teachers' associations. Put the party line in textbooks. He goes on to say, getting control includes permeating the culture with corrosive and false perspectives about true principles of freedom and about those who brought them to America. For example, painting Western culture, capitalism, and traditional American values as divisive, one-sided, greedy, racist, and old-fashioned. Parents may see these changes already being established by examining what their children bring home as facts and by reviewing the curriculum. That's 1958, folks. 1958. Here we are, 68 years later, almost 7 decades later, and it's 45, by the way, 45 principles, and my last reading told me every single one of them had pretty much been accomplished. And now look, we need an awakening in our country, obviously. We need God's intervention. But as a practical matter, I mean, for example, I've said it before, if I had to do over again, because we sent our children, you know, they're middle-aged adults now, but we sent our children to secular colleges. If I had it to do over, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Thank God they've emerged and they're okay. But man, boy, you're really taking a big risk. I mean, having sent three of our children to Christian schools, we then put them at risk. But we didn't have the level of understanding of what was actually going on in the culture at that time. We didn't understand how much it had infiltrated everything, including the educational process. It's just like saying to people who, during COVID, conservative people, by the way, who would say, caught up in the scare of COVID, but the science is the science, and we've got to follow the science. And I would say, yeah, but the science is really not the science, because they're not interested in having you follow science. They're interested in having you follow them. And they will lie about the science, pollute the science, do whatever they need to do with the science in order to get you to fall in line. Well, you sound a little conspiratorial there, Bishop Jackson. That's, yeah. And now, look, we look in the aftermath, and we see what was really done. And it's just absolutely tragic what they did to our country. Now, thank God we're a resilient nation and we can come out of it. But, you know, it's not over yet. We don't know how many people are going to yet find themselves sick because they took this DNA stuff. And I don't think that's going to be everybody. I think some people, because of their own immune system, their own internal physical fortitude, are going to be fine. But I'll tell you what, I think there are going to be a lot of people who won't be. because this thing got into their system and messed with their DNA. I mean, Fauci hid the fact that he had a myocardial infarction 6 months after he took the shot. Hid it from us. Why? Because he knew that that was one of those adverse incident reports that he didn't want on the record. By the way, speaking of Fauci, I'm sure you all have heard this. I didn't know this, but apparently Joni Ernst, reporting on some of Fauci's activity, we're now finding out that he not only funded the gain-of-function research in the Wuhan laboratory and other places, which, by the way, even Barack Obama was afraid to do. Even Barack Obama, we understand, said, well, I'm not really comfortable with that, Dr. Fauci. But he was doing it, you know, because, I mean, to me, the man was really running a shadow government. And in addition to that, he was also doing experiments on fetal body parts. Yeah, he was funding that. And some of the stuff, folks, is just so ugly that it's... I've already said it once. I don't really want to have to say it again because it's just that nasty. It's just that wicked what he was doing, what he was funding. I mean, horrible, horrible stuff, Frankensteinish stuff based upon late-term abortions and then what they would do with the body parts. I mean, it's just... You can look it up and read it. I have been blessed with a very strong constitution. My stomach doesn't get nauseous. I can't even remember when the last time was I had any kind of stomach ache or stomach problems. But I tell you, it's the kind of thing when you read it, it just unnerves your gut. You know what I mean? It really does. Just to think people can do this stuff and think that they're somehow so superior. They're so morally above it all that they have no conscience about this stuff. I don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Fauci, but I am convinced that he needs to be indicted. He needs to be tried. I am convinced that he has committed crimes against humanity for his own self-aggrandizement. I don't even think money was the main thing for him, although I think that was part of it. But I think just an out-of-control ego. And I think basically he became a Dr. Mengele, but in his own mind, he was a demigod. And I look, unless he repents, he's going to be held accountable. I'm hoping that he will be held accountable in this life, not in the next, so that we can see it. And again, I don't say that as an act of hatred. I say that as an act of love for my country because we can't have people doing this kind of stuff and getting away with it and thinking they can do it with impunity and putting the lives of millions of people at stake and at risk and depriving them of the very things that could help them and forcing them, manipulating them, lying to them to do the very thing that could hurt them. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting. So my prayer is, you know, Lord, let him be held accountable for it so that the whole world sees and that all the people out there, all these little demigods, these little scientists who think that they're like Fauci, think that they're so far above the rest of us and they know so much and they're that greedy and that self-absorbed. Let them see that, yeah, but you may get away with that for a while, but sooner or later, we're going to catch you. And when we do, we're going to exact the proper cost of justice. And maybe that'll give, and if anything like this were to ever happen again, that would give him second, that would give those persons who might be inclined to do this stuff second thoughts. I mean, can you imagine classifying deaths that had really nothing to do with COVID, motorcycle accidents, heart attacks, strokes, you know, all kinds of stuff as COVID deaths to get the numbers up to scare everybody and also to get the funding in so you get more money because you got more COVID deaths. Just basically manufacturing a fiction in order to make more money and get more control. Because if people are scared, they'll do what you want them to do. And if you can convince the powers that be of how dire this is, you can get more money to spend. I mean, he took the fifth 111 times. I'd like to know how much money, exactly how much money Fauci made. I guarantee you the number's staggering. And I just my belief based upon what I know, I can't prove this as a fact because I don't have enough facts to do this. But based upon what we do know, I believe Bill Gates is all up in this. Yeah, I believe Bill Gates because he and Fauci were thick as thieves. And Bill Gates is another one who suffers from a little megalomaniacal syndrome where he thinks, you know, we need to reduce the population of the world by 3 billion people and we'll all be fine there. Says who? Says the demigod, Bill Gates. Because I know what's best for humanity. Lord, help us. Well, look, this the outcome of this election, and like I said, Saeed is just one of a number of situations indicating that there is a poison in the body politic, and that poison is to a large extent the educational system that is giving us little socialist, communist, Marxist automatons. I mean, it's like connecting the sewer to your water system and having you drink that stuff constantly. I mean, that's what, in effect, it's doing. It's feeding the sewage of Marxist ideology and indoctrination into our political bloodstream through our young people. So that's how you get most young people. Well, and not most, but I think about 49% of. I think the number's 49%, but it's pretty close to a majority of Gen Zers, ages 18 to 29, I think it is, think that socialism is better than capitalism. Well, where'd they learn that? Yeah, well, we know where they learned it. Now, look, I want to take your calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. You know, I'm hearing that polls down in Texas show Tallarico leading Ken Paxton. I think about 2 or 3 or 4 points. You know, it's not many. I can't believe it. I don't know. Some of you Texas folks, you tell me what you think. Tell me what you're feeling. I'm hearing Ken Paxton seems to be a little lethargic. He's not as active, not as out there, not challenging Tallarico. But one of the discussions that's happening is Tallarico is trying to make sure he wins the men's vote by presenting himself as a man. Well, I'll tell you one thing. My view of Tallarico, he ain't no cowboy. He might be a cowgirl, but he's definitely not a cowboy. I mean, you know who he reminds me of? Barack Obama. You know, the little effete, you know, sort of this kind of facade of intelligence and thoughtfulness, and you know, sort of this soft demeanor, you know, the kind of smooth, you know, little effete man. That's who he reminds me of. And I can't believe Texans are going to vote for him. I certainly can't believe Texas men are going to vote for him. When he's running around, God is non-binary and the Bible doesn't mention anything about homosexuality. What Bible has he been reading? The Bible doesn't mention anything about abortion. What does he think Pharaoh was doing? You wouldn't call it an abortion now. It's infanticide, but that's because he didn't have the technical wherewithal to do abortions. But that was exactly what he was doing. That's what he was getting at. He was trying to kill these babies before they took their first breath. And the midwives, of course, didn't go along. I mean, what does he think Herod was trying to do in killing every child 2 years old and under? He was trying to abort the Messiah. And he comes along and says, Mary could have had an abortion. God would have been okay with that. Because God believes in, God's pro-choice. I mean, I cannot believe Texans are going to vote for him. I cannot believe it. But I'll tell you what, the Democrat Party, because Satan presents himself as an angel of light, are trying to make him into a man. And I don't think you can accomplish that with him. But, you know, they put a blowtorch in his hand. Well, it wasn't really a blowtorch. It was, you know, one of those little, I guess you could call it a little blowtorch that, you know, a kid might use in a classroom laboratory or something. You know, when you have bought into the idea that there's no such thing as men or women and that gender is fluid and everybody is just kind of a conglomerate mixture or whatever, and a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. When you buy into that, how in the world can you expect to put forth what a man is supposed to be? Because you clearly don't have a clue. You're just confused. 888-589-8840 is the number. That's 888-589-8840. I'll take your calls when we come back.
Hello, Tim Wildman here, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, maybe you've heard some of my other announcements about our tours in March 2027. We are going to Greece and we're going to Italy. Two separate tours, but you can do both if you want to. The first tour is called The Footsteps of Paul, which will be going to many of the places covered in the book of Acts that happened in Greece. The other tour is Italy, and one of the places we're going to be going is Venice, and we're going to ride the gondola that Paul took on his trip to Venice. You can read about that in the Bible, too. I'm just kidding, but you can call it a gondola or gondola. I don't care, but if you want to go on one of our tours in 2027, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net.
The Hamilton Quarter Podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Just before I come to the calls, 888-589-8840, let me just mention, folks, I'm doing the Truth Tour. Facts about American history you were never taught, because I think that's one of the lies that our system has perpetrated against our children and our students, to teach them to hate America, as America was built on slavery and America stole the land and all this nonsense. And I really help people understand what the truth about American history is. I mean, for example, did you know that the first massacre that took place between the American settlers, that is the early settlers of Jamestown, and the Powhatan Confederacy, which was the main tribe of Native Americans they encountered, the first massacre took place by the Powhatan against the settlers. They killed 347 people on March 22nd, 1622, and they pulled that off by pretending to be friendly, pretending to bring gifts to them. And when they relaxed and were safely in their presence, that's when they took out their weapons and began to slaughter people. They slaughtered 347 men, women, and children. What kind of tone do you think that set for the relations between settlers to the North American continent, the New World, and natives after that? It wasn't the Europeans that started that. It was the Native Americans that started that. But, you know, you'll never hear that. And that should be a famous story, but it's not. Because it set the tone, and nobody ever forgot what can happen when you trust natives thinking that they're friendly and they turn around and slaughter wives and children and everybody they can get their hands on. But again, I cover some of this in the Truth Tour. If you're interested, email us at truthtour@standinc.net. That's truthtour@standinc.net, or call us at 757-375-6444. All right. The number here to call in is 888-589-8840. We've got some full lines. Let's go to David in Virginia. David, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciate it. I have a couple questions, but they're all about the one topic, books. I know back in the day, the Bible was a book that was in schools. So that obviously is a great book for teaching. I know, let's see, so American history. Now, there's probably not too much American history in it. So how far back were books accurate and good, and you know, what years did they start taking them out or rewriting them? You know, how could a person or a family who are, you know, listening that are maybe pregnant and they want to, you know, find good books, you know, how far back, what, and are there any new books being made, you know, by patriots, or is there, you know, books we can trust about American history?
Yeah. Wow. David, that is a great question. And thank you for the call. I'll answer it in two parts. I think from the moment the printing press was invented by Gutenberg and we began to mass produce books, and that happened, of course, in the 16th century and grew from there, I think that everybody who could get their hands on the printing press probably approached it the same way most people do now. Some with a view to trying to promote truth, and others with a view to trying to promote lies. And I think that that was just the case. So in terms of looking at books, I think you just have to really look for the author. I mean, I can tell you right now, for example, in terms of American history, you begin with David Barton and William Federer, both of whom are friends of mine, great historians. And I would look on their websites for books that they have written and books written by others that they would approve. Rick Green is another one. I mean, he's got Patriot Academy. There's a lot of good stuff out there. A lot of the biographies, I think, that were written, you can sometimes find out what the perspective of the biographer was, whether that biographer was really interested in trying to paint an accurate picture, for example, of a former president, or whether they've got an axe to grind. And so you just have to evaluate them, because I think from just like anything else, human beings being imperfect, they're going to take any tool that they have. Some of them are going to use that tool for nefarious purposes, and some are going to use it for good. But I think wallbuilders.com for the David Barton website, and American Minute is William Federer's website, and that would be a great place to begin for books that are going to really give you an accurate picture of American history. And we're not trying to gloss over the bad. You can read my books, Sweet Land of Liberty, which is really in part biographical, but it's also in part historical. Because I'm not interested in glossing over our mistakes. We haven't been a perfect country, but we are a noble country, and we are a decent country, and we are a country that's done more to affirm human dignity than any other nation on earth. And that's a fact. So thank you for the call, my friend. Let's go to Ronnie in Alabama. Ronnie, welcome.
Well, thank you, Bishop Jackson. I was wanting to hear from you about my opinion on the issue of socialism. I believe socialism is just another word for communism, which is communism, the means of carrying out Marxist ideology. Like when people use, they don't want to use communism, so they say socialist. Even like the Soviet Union, in their name, it was the United Soviet Socialist Republic.
Yep.
You
yep.
see where I'm going with this?
Oh, yes.
And all these, and if you'll notice, these liberal news networks, they won't use the word socialism when they're speaking of a political candidate. They'll call them a progressive. That's because right. they know that most Americans don't want socialism. Therefore, they don't want to use the word socialism concerning their candidates. They call them progressive. And what I think needs to be done, especially by people in the radio or television, commentators, need to just call people or call organizations what they are. Don't call them lefties. Call them Marxists.
Yeah.
Because if you do, if you don't call them what they are, you're minimizing the danger that they pose.
Ronnie, thank you so much for the call. You are absolutely right. I agree with you. Now, I use all of those terms, of course, but in my view, yeah, they are Marxists, communists, and I agree. Socialism, Marx believed that socialism was simply the pathway to communism. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not just the pathway. It is communism. You just call it by a different name, you're right, because it makes it feel more palatable to people and obviously more palatable to our young people who have never been educated on the dangers. The people who escaped Venezuela, the people who escaped Cuba, those people were living under what their leaders called socialist systems. And it was nothing but full-blown communism. So you are absolutely right, my friend. Okay, let's go to Mark in Texas. Mark, welcome.
Hello, sir. And I just want to thank you for what you do for the AFR. I want to tell you straight up, this Texan's not voting for Tallarico. And I looked online, and our next election is, I guess, in March. No, in February. So I don't know what election would be coming up very quick for us to vote in, and I was a little confused, and I wanted to tell you that what state is Bernie Sanders representing?
I think he probably represents the Soviet Union from his perspective, but he's from Vermont. Yeah, he's from Vermont, which is, of course, that's liberal la-la land. Hey, thank you for the call, Mark. I thought, and I have not, I mean, I just kind of assumed that you have an election coming up in November. But and you're talking about March of next year because Tallarico and Paxton are running for U.S. Senate. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm assuming that election's coming up in November, unless there's something odd about Texas elections that I'm not aware of. So if somebody knows something that I don't know, please tell me. But I'll say this. Yeah, you've got an election coming up on November the 3rd. Yeah, you've got an election coming up on November the 3rd. So that's according to the Texas Secretary of State.
Okay. Am I still on?
But Mark, I got to run, Mark. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Lynette, also in Texas. Lynette, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Bishop. Yeah, I just want to let you know also that the polls are never in favor of Republicans when it comes to Texas. Never. So I always ignore those polls. But our election, yes, it is. Early voting starts the last 2 weeks of October, and then November the 3rd, election day. Thank you. Appreciate all.
All right. Well, there you go, Lynette. So there is an election coming up. I'm not sure where Mark was looking, but I'm sure there are people out there who don't want people like you and Mark to vote at all. So, folks, Texas election, same day as all over the country for congressional and some U.S. Senate elections, which is Tuesday, November the 3rd. Coming up. Let's go to Gina, another Texan. Gina, welcome.
Bishop, it's so great to hear you as always.
Thank you.
November 3rd absolutely is our election. And Paxson and Tallarico will be facing off. And I agree with the previous callers that there is no way that Tallarico is going to win that election. Just absolutely no way. I don't believe any of the polls. Remember what happened in 2023 with all those fake polls? I just don't believe any of them. And so we just plod along here in Texas, and we know what's right, and just like so many other wonderful states. And thank you for all the hard work you do there in Virginia. So no way is Tallarico going to win Texas.
All right, Gina. Well, listen, I am reassured. And thank you so much for the call, Gina. Look, folks, I've got something called Stand America PAC, and we're going to be doing some work in Texas because we want to make sure that the outcome in Texas is right. Because frankly, you realize Texas with, I think the number is 32 million people, if I'm not mistaken. But Texas is the second largest state in the union. We cannot afford to have Texas go even purplish, let alone blue. So I think there are going to be people all over the country who want to make sure that the outcome of the election in Texas is going to affirm our constitutional republic rather than undermine it. Because you're right, Tallarico would be an unmitigated disaster, as would El Said, as would any of these other. I mean, can you imagine AOC as president of the United States? Oh, my goodness. I don't even want to think about a scenario like that. Because, look, these people fundamentally do not believe in our country or our way of life. They just don't. I mean, I hear Said saying, I'm fighting for our democracy. I'm fighting for our democracy. But now we know what they mean. Get rid of the Senate. Get rid of the Supreme Court. We're going to have one body that governs everything. We're going to get rid of private property. We're going to take over the major industries of our country. And they'll rule without any checks, without any balances. See, that's what they mean by democracy. But, you know, that's the same thing the Soviet Union meant by democracy. That's what Vladimir Putin means by democracy now. That's what China means by democracy. They have elections, but the outcome's already predetermined. We're not going to let that happen to the United States of America, folks, period. So listen, you all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.